One of the traditions which has developed in autumn, at least in years without pandemics, is that of people dressing up in costumes and gathering for celebrations. And frequently selected costumes are those of superheroes. Superheroes from comic books and movie screens can be fun to emulate because of their special abilities. One superhero might be particularly strong when a certain piece of clothing is put on. Another when some special food or drink is consumed. Another when a piece of jewelry, such as a ring, is worn. Such is the case, anyway, in connection with the fictitious superheroes of human imaginations. But have you heard of the real-life hero that was at his strongest when he was at his weakest? You have, actually. You just may not recognize him by that description. The hero of whom I speak is the Apostle Paul. He was not the superhero. The single most powerful being in existence is our Lord Jesus, and how wonderfully he came to our rescue. When we were doomed to destruction and completely without any means of rescuing ourselves from eternal misery, he took off from his heavenly home, took on our human nature, and took on our many enemies, negating the accusations of the devil and removing the condemnation for our sin. Jesus, to whom all power belongs in heaven and on earth, delivered us and has opened for us the gates of eternal life in paradise. Shortly after he completed his saving work, he ascended into heaven and provided the church with apostles, prophets, evangelists, various types of witnesses, heroes of sorts, among whom stood the Apostle Paul. Was he ever something? He stood up to adversaries. He survived beating and stoning. He came into contact with a dead man, and the dead man came to life. He was bitten by a venomous snake and shook it off unharmed. And when did he see his strength at its height? When he was weak. This is how he explained it in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Among the many flaws which Paul recognized in himself was that deep-seated problem which every human being inherited from Adam, pride. By nature, we think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We naturally view accomplishments as the result of our own abilities, acquisitions as the result of our own energies, achievements as the result of our own innate skill, easily forgetting that all such positives in our lives are the direct result of God's blessing and gifting. And it is such pride that actually puts us at odds with God. When a person is filled with pride, when one views himself or herself as being self-sufficient and strong on one's own, the result is similar to that which occurs when the positive field of one magnet approaches the positive field of another. If you've ever tried to push together 2 horseshoe-shaped magnets with the positive field approaching the other positive field, it doesn't work. There's resistance. They don't connect. Human pride actually works against the power which the Lord is anxious and ready to share. And since pride is often inflated when we succeed at something, the Lord graciously works to counter debilitating pride with humbling difficulties and challenges. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited, Paul explained. Paul had troubles, difficulties, and there was one issue, a thorn, that was particularly troublesome. We aren't told exactly what it was. It may have been a physical disorder, or perhaps something with which he struggled internally. All we know is that it really bothered him, to the point that 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about it, that it should leave me. It got in his way. It was an irritant. It apparently kept him from achieving all that he might have wished to achieve. It was a weakness. But despite his pleading, God left it in place. And in his weak state, Paul prospered. When the Spirit brings us to an accurate estimation of ourselves and an awareness of our complete dependence on Christ, then he turns us around, so to speak, to tap into the supreme power of Christ. Imagine flipping over one of those magnets. Then things click. When God revealed to Paul that he would leave the thorn in place, he explained, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." All we need is his grace. Neither our survival nor our success depends on anything other than his loving kindness. All depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing, says the hymn, not on our own talents and abilities. When we're dependent on Christ for success, though weak in ourselves, we're connected to the greatest power there is. Elsewhere, Paul declared, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." There is strength to be found in a personally weak condition, strength to be experienced through a realization of our need for Christ, and thus benefit to be found in the hardships of life. Martin Luther, himself an extraordinarily gifted man, wrote about how God works with his people to bring them to an awareness of their weakness, quote, "that they may learn that they are nothing." Paul carried a thorn in the flesh that he might not become proud. And elsewhere Luther wrote, "Indeed, faith is actually stronger in trouble and adversity than it is in good fortune. As 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my strength is made perfect in weakness." As a result, Paul concluded, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So, whom does the superhero Jesus see as those who are strong in his kingdom? Those who, like Paul, recognize personal weakness as a component of true strength. Those who wisely see themselves as nothing and see the Savior as everything, the one who died and rose again, that he might connect with us to enlighten, to enrich, and to empower. One of the ways that the Lord does empower his people and strengthen faith is through his supper. Hymn 315, verses 1 and 11 speak of this. "I come, O Savior, to thy table, for weak and weary is my soul. Thou, bread of life, alone art able to satisfy and make me whole. This feast is manna, wealth abounding, unto the poor, to weak ones, power, to angels, joy, to hell, confounding, and life for me in death's dark hour. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. Amen."